Milwaukee, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Almost 2 minutes past the hour. This is the horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. And that's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room. I'm doing that just in a moment here myself. And with a click, zoom, I'm in there. And you can be too, just whenever, you know, whenever the mood strikes you. Good evening, Anatole. Good evening, Stockton Leary. And, of course, good evening to longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky. We're off and rolling for this Thorn in the Side Thursday. And being Thorn in the Side Thursday, I'm sure we'll have some... Well, it looks like we're going to start with some Bundy erotic fanfic. Sparky posting, seize me, Ammon moaned. Set my fertile grassland aflame, and I shall pursue no recourse. Good evening, King of Cups. Put on the spike heels, Ammon managed, his voice husky with longing. Tread on me, please. Tread on me. God, that's funny. The only thing that'll be funnier is if we can get around to maybe rolling five or six tanks up next to the place. I know, that's mean-spirited, isn't it? Well, it's not like they're a bunch of tolerant, intelligent people. Now, is it? No, not even a little bit. And secret message to Jason. Yes, I saw that. Oh, Lord, yes, I saw that. This is, of course, a listener-supported broadcast experiment. 10 years into the experiment now, 10 years plus. And we try to raise $200 an evening, $200 per evening, 10 folks at $20, 20 folks at $10, one folk at $200, two at $100, four at $50, eight at $25, 16 at $12.50, 32 at six and a quarter. And that's the extent of my ciphering in gazintas. So, no, okay, all right, 64 at $3 and 12 and a half cents. But I don't know how, I don't know if PayPal can handle those half censuses. But if you would like to help support the program, then you go to PayPal. Or, and you use this email address, bobkincaid@gmail.com. Or you can just use the PayPal interface at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. And or you can use the U.S. Postal Service. And thanks to those of you who do, it keeps all the spiders from chewing the gloves off of Boss Man Wayne's hands as he reaches into the echo chamber. That address for checks and money orders made payable to The Horn, not Bob Kincaid, but The Horn, is The Horn, oddly enough, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. And anyone trying to reach me via Skype probably was having problems earlier because I had a rather lengthy update and reboot on that machine. And let's see what's going on here. All right, we're ready to roll. We are ready to roll on Thorn in the Side Thursday. This particular day was... Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Got to get that out of the way, too. And I admit, I'm a little tired this evening. Got up this morning and had a doctor's appointment way down in the Kanawha Valley in Charleston. Drove down there, and I know the rest of the world deals with this on a fairly regular basis. God knows if you live in Southern California or Atlanta or Boston, traffic snarl-ups, but it's kind of unusual. But yeah, I got down, and so we sat in traffic for an hour and wound up not even being able to go to the appointment. So we turned around and came back, which sucked. And yuck. So I mean, I'll pick up the energy level. But yeah, that was at the very least frustrating because now I get to turn around and, you know, do it all over again in a couple of weeks. Joy. Let's see, just doing a couple of things here to make sure that we get everything connected that would be, yeah. Got to get the stress line set up and ready to roll. And we are. So, it was Horst who named Thorn in the Side Thursday. That's a back reference to Catch 22 by Joseph Heller, which oftentimes seems to be treated by the right wing as a field manual instead of the brilliant satire on the brutality of war and, you know, business practices that it is, and you know, that everybody's got to share. So where to begin? Well, I don't like to give free publicity to the clan of clan of the Tundra twit, but how can you not enjoy this? This is just a little tidbit out there. You remember perpetually regenerating virgin Bristol Palin? Yeah. And you remember how she had a baby over Christmas that she gave the bizarre name of Sailor Grace to, as I surmise, as a thumb in the eye of Medal of Honor winning Marine Dakota Meyer? America's weirdest family is now angry at Dakota Meyer, furious even. No, Dakota didn't say anything nasty about Bristol or anything. He just didn't want to marry her. He didn't want to marry into that bizarre clan. But now that little Sailor Grace has been born, and knowing that Bristol, named, I suspect, after Harvey's Bristol Cream, Knowing that she has been known to make as much as $262,000 a year, as or $263,000 flat as a public speaker, encouraging young women to not do as she does, but do as she says, and avoid teen pregnancy. Well, Dakota Meyer has filed a court case because he's the father of little Sailor Grace. And what has he asked for? Well, he's asked for joint custody of the child, to which most states would accord him that status, based on the legal presumption that it is better when children have parenting from both parents. Which, if it was anybody but, you know, Bristol, I'm sure that Mussolini, you know, Godzilla from Wasilla would be in complete agreement. Children need their fathers. But not that one. Not that one at all. So what really gets under their skin, though, Sailor Grace. Yeah, Carol said, I thought she named the brat after the baby daddy, the Seventh Fleet. Yeah. Of course, just as a moment, remembering some of the people we lost in 2015, we didn't lose them, they died. Well, Bart Kopp went on, and I remember when the first Bristol baby was born, he surmised or suggested or said he wasn't sure, but he thought that the baby's name was Trip Keyshawn Flapjack Johnston. And I still laugh every day. Trip Keyshawn Flapjack Johnston. God, Bart Kopp was funny. But no, they are in a white, and I do mean white, hot rage there inside the Palin clan compound, cave bear, whatever, because Dakota Meyer has asked for child support from Bristol. Mm-hmm. He wants visitation, joint custody, and child support from Bristol. And giving a statement to Entertainment Tonight, because, well, they're the ones who call her now. Godzilla from Wasilla said, "For many months, we have been trying to reach out to Dakota Myers." His name's not Dakota Myers, it's Dakota Meyer. "He has wanted nothing to do with either Bristol's pregnancy or the baby." Well, he does now. Baby's born. And, honey, here's the fun part. He's got rights. Mm-hmm. Yes. The Tundra Twunt. A spokesman for Bristol, who identified himself as David Martin, if that really is his name, said, "My values are such that a real American hero doesn't ask for child support." Well, they do if they want to be able to support the baby while the baby's doing visitation. I'm pretty sure that Bristol probably significantly out-earns Dakota Meyer. And on the other hand, who's gonna raise the baby anyway? Bristol? I think, and I think we can all agree that it would be an act of child abuse per se to let this poor baby anywhere near Caribou Barbie. So we got that. Not going to dwell on it. Okay, goodbye. Yeah. Stockton Larry asking in the chat room, can't the Palins see Dakota out their back door? Oh, it's off of their deck. From their house. Mm-hmm. So we got that going for us. And, you know, Thorn in the Side Thursday is all about bizarre right-wingery attempts at cognition, the real moments in right-wingery when you just go, because it feels like, it feels like the onset of a particularly nasty bout of dysentery. We got lots of it. Let's visit Oklahoma Stan, shall we? This falls nicely into Thorn in the Side Thursday. David Greenwell is a member of the Oklahoma City Council. I guess that would make it the Oklahoma City Council. And he knows when freedom is under attack there in that good, godly, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, gunned-up, evangelical, amosexual, fundamentalist culture known as Oklahoma Stan. Now, this past Tuesday, they had a debate in the Oklahoma City Council about whether to add sexual orientation and gender identity to the pre-existing ordinance there in Oklahoma City that prevents discrimination in the housing sector. At present, it protects people from being discriminated against based upon age, familial status, disability, race, color, sex, religion, creed, ancestry, or national origin. Now, David Greenwell is having nothing of it. No, sir, no how.
That in Houston, they just had a referendum election back in November over this wording, and it was turned down by a vote of the people. So everybody is not in favor of this. This article had another very interesting thing. It said there are some people who have a sincere belief, religious or not, in natural marriage. I happen to be in that class, and that colors my thinking, I understand, and I believe that this is a step in the wrong direction, and therefore I'm going to respectfully vote against it. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Ed, you want to make your motion? All right. We have a motion and a second. We're voting on item 9E1.
And by the way, what's this natural marriage language they're using now? Did you catch that? I believe in natural. Applying a little bit of reasoning to it, that would suggest that a couple of guys who pick out a China pattern and some of those cute little scented seashell shaped, you try saying it, seashell shaped soaps. That's an unnatural marriage? Well, of course. I mean, it says right there in the book of Flip-Floppians. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, here we go.
One, this is an Mayor, amendment
before
to
we
the
do
ordinance.
That, I'm sorry to get you at the last moment, but...
We were this close.
I know it.
To vote.
I still have...
Now, this here is your David Greenwell. Hockey pucks... At the ready, please, and a couple of sturdy strips of duct tape.
I have a concern. If I can go back to that previous example, Pete, if a couple, let's say, have a spare room over their garage that they'd like to rent out, and their religious beliefs says, you know what, I don't want to condone that kind of lifestyle, so I prefer not to rent out to people of the LGBT community. We're taking that person's right away.
Okay. Just as we took away that Grand Dragon's right away to say I ain't gonna rent to no Jews or Catholics or Negras. Or any of the mud people. Yeah, that's how they talk, your Klan folk and your neo-Nazis. But then again, if we're citing religious reasons, you could all Dave, Mr. Greenwood, can I call you Dave? Dave? Maybe they should being Christians follow the teachings of their savior, you know, Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi. Maybe they should just offer up that spare room for someone who has no home. Because that's one of those WWJD things. You know, what would Jeebus do? Because that's what Jeebus would do. Jeebus! Mm-hmm. But we're going to take away their rights. Oh, dear. Do continue, Dave, if that really is your name.
That kind of lifestyle. So I prefer not to rent out to people of the LGBT community. We're taking that person's right away, I believe, with this ordinance. And that part disturbs me, to take that person's ability to rent out a spare room in that kind of a situation. Again, going back to my example, a couple who have been brought up in a environment to where they felt like that was not a proper lifestyle.
So, in other words, they've been environmentally poisoned? Maybe we need to get the jackbooted thugs of the Obama EPA right on it.
Just like I don't believe, and I wouldn't want to condone my children, for example, to live together outside of marriage.
Wait a minute. He doesn't want his children to live together outside of marriage? Haven't they been doing that while he's been raising them in his house? Things become clearer and clearer. Uncle Daddy? Yeah, and me not yet. That lifestyle. That lifestyle. Which makes it sound like it's all about the wall sconces and the window treatments. It's life. It's life, Dave. It's life.
You dick!
Yes.
Now, I may be considered old-fashioned in that.
Really old-fashioned if you're saying you don't want your son and your daughter living together until they can get married. And then after they get married, they can live together. Brother, sister. Yeah. Wonder if he knows Cliven Bundy.
In that regard. But I don't think it's right. You know. And so to force couple to say, you can't get that extra income, you know, by renting that apartment over your garage out, unless you're willing to take anybody, without some additional study, as Mark suggests.
One last comment. I think it boils down to the way people look at the Constitution. I knew the Constitution would be an argument today. The way some people look at the Constitution as the right, as a set of words designed to protect the discriminator. Other people look at the Constitution as a document designed to protect those to prevent discrimination. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. We're more worried about what somebody's religious beliefs are who won't be affected one way or the other by having a gay couple live in their garage apartment. If it challenges their religious beliefs, they need to work on their marriage, in my opinion. It's not.
Ooh, burn.
Something that challenges your belief. It's just preventing you from discriminating against somebody else. This couple that is so worried about a gay couple, they're still comfortable in their house. I just don't see how discrimination against somebody that doesn't agree with them raises some kind of a constitutional issue. But I recognize if you do believe that, yeah, you're going to believe. Mark, I think, believes that. Well, it's just a difference.
Because it's all about the believing. It's not about the knowing. It's about the believing. Because these people believe all kinds of crazy crap. Yeah. But so this guy's offering a pretty reasonable interpretation of the statute, and did you hear the gasp run through the crowd when he said they need to work on their marriage? Well, they do. Because, see, this is the problem with your God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-dementalist, amosexuals. They spend all their time worrying about what somebody else is doing. I mean, Emery and Marveline, or maybe he's on wife number two, Muriel. He likes to stay in the M's, Emery does, because, you know, Emery. Muriel, do you think those Homer sectionals we rented up there, what do you think they're doing right now, Muriel? Well, I don't know, Emery, but it's probably real dirty. How dirty, Muriel? Real dirty. Dirty enough to make you want to take off your good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, amosexual, gun-to-mentalist clothing? Why, yes, Emery, yes!
Mm-hmm. It's like which side of the bed you sleep on.
Yeah.
You know,
couple of comments. One, I think the Constitution isn't trying to provide favoritism on one side of the issue or not. They're just saying everybody's entitled to certain inevitable rights, you know.
Yeah, because it's right there in the Constitution, inevitable rights. Please, please, I'm only hoping that Dr. Bill is not listening this evening, because if he is and he just heard about those inevitable rights, he probably just hurt his foot kicking furniture. Those inevitable rights. You know, we might be in trouble. We might be in real trouble. We're in trouble. We might be in real trouble, though, if these good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-to-mentalist, amosexuals, if they had any actual working brains, these inevitable rights. He's thinking about the passage from the Declaration of Independence, which, of course, is in no wise the law of the United States and isn't part of the Constitution and was not incorporated thereunto by reference.
Right. Inalienable rights, I mean.
Oh, there we go. But that's okay, because Dave Greenwell is still wrong. Because it ain't in the Constitution.
That they are God-given rights, that government can't take certain rights from us.
No, dumbass, they're not. They are rights that are established within the Constitution, in which the word God, deity, providence, almighty, great, not mentioned not even one time. In fact, the only mention of religion is in the negative sense, insofar as there shall be no test. No test, no religious test for the holding of office in the United States of America. Try telling that to Dave Inevitable Greenwell.
And that's what the Constitution provides for. Now, the other part is if we were to make exceptions like single unit rental properties wouldn't be subject to these rules, for example, or something like that. You see that with a lot of the rules from the federal government that employers of less than a certain number, for example, are not subject to these same rules. If you're in the trade or business of renting out apartments, I think you should be subject to these rules.
Right.
You know, and so I'm just asking, without Mark providing an exception, I would offer to come back and look at this question with the opportunity for debates on both sides a month from today.
Yeah, no.
All right, are we ready to vote? All right.
And vote they did. And this is the good news part of the story. Because the motion carried. The amendment passed. It was 5-4. So we know that there are five at least marginally sane members of the City Council of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And then there's Dave Greenwell and that other cranky old prick, whomever he may be. Christian, I'm sure. Evangelical, fundamentalist, etc. Yeah. But it is, no, it has a happy ending. So until they put a measure on the ballot saying that the LGBTQ plus community ain't got no rights here in Oklahoma because Jeebus, it's going to be illegal to discriminate against somebody for being gay when they go to rent an apartment. Mm-hmm. You gotta celebrate the victories when you find one. And there it is. So now off we go into the swamp. Into the land of stupid. Otherwise known as, you know, Talabama. Breaks my heart. But, you know, it is what it is. He's back. Yep. Judge Roy Moore has decided that he's going to go down fighting. Well, I mean, he's not going to go down. I mean, not like that. I mean, you know, not like, you know, Bundy erotic fanfic or anything. Hey, could that be another hashtag? That's worth thinking about. Roy Moore erotic fanfic. Because that's got real potential there. Really. Roy Moore's back, and he has issued him a new ruling, an administrative order to the probate judges of Talabama. Mm-hmm. Confusion and uncertainty exist among the probate judges of this state as to the effect of Obergefell, which is the Supreme Court decision that legalized marriage equality all across this once great nation, on the existing orders in API. Alabama probate something or another. Many probate judges are issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples in accordance with Obergefell. Others are issuing marriage licenses only to couples of the opposite gender or have ceased issuing all marriage licenses. This here disparity affects the administration of justice in this here state. Yet the fact remains that the administration of justice in the state of Talabama, and how you can even type that without the little pixels and the various electrons that form them up on a monitor just going woof, up in flames, or just making the machine die a cruel and hateful death from having to tolerate that much, you know, that much, I don't know, wackiness. Justice in Alabama has been adversely affected by the apparent conflict between the decision of the Alabama Supreme Court in API and the decision of the United States Supreme Court in Obergefell. It is ordered and directed, because he got his caps lock stuck, and I just don't feel like yelling tonight yet. Until further decision by the Alabama Supreme Court, the existing orders of the Alabama Supreme Court that Alabama probate judges have a ministerial duty not to issue any marriage license contrary to the Alabama Sanctity of Marriage Amendment or the Alabama Marriage Protection Act remain in full force and effect. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, thank you, Gerald. Gerald admonishing me, enhance your calm, Bob Kincaid. Letting go now, letting go now, letting everything go. Om. Didn't work. Ooh. Because, see, Roy Moore can declare all he wants that there is conflict between the Supreme Court and the Alabama Supreme Court. But the fact of the matter is, it ain't. There ain't none whatsoever. Not a speck. Nary a smidgen. Not a sausage. Mm-mm. Nope. Fuck it. You know why there's no conflict between the Alabama Supreme Court and the United States Supreme Court? Because the new United States Supreme Court trumps everything that Roy Moore does. The Alabama Supreme Court cannot be in conflict with the new United States Supreme Court, because if the new United States Supreme Court has a conflict with the Alabama Supreme Court, well, then according to our little old Constitution, which is far more complicated and involved than, say, your average Bundy thinks it is. Oh, it's right there. We got the inevitable right to start brush fires, damn it. You see? Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's been any weddings out to the bird sanctuary yet. Don't know. Now, the United States Supreme Court, it is impossible for it to have for the Alabama Supreme Court to be in conflict with it. All the Alabama Supreme Court has to do is obey. Oh, and incidentally, the Attorney General of the state of Alabama has long since issued an order to the probate clerks saying, listen, and the probate judges, follow the damn law. The case has been decided. It was decided by the Supreme Court. It's the law of the land. Move along. Mm-hmm. So that there Alabama Marriage Protection Act, and that there Alabama Sanctity of Marriage Amendment, yeah, they don't even exist anymore. To the extent that they discriminate against same-sex couples wishing to get married, the Supreme Court made them disappear. That would be something, yes, Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, that would be something called the Supremacy Clause. Lucky for Roy Moore, the Constitution doesn't have a sanity clause. We all know there's no sanity clause. Mm-hmm. So, but Roy Moore has a grift running, because he's got himself a little outfit called the Sanctity of Marriage Foundation or some such crap. It's a hate group that his wife runs and draws a salary for. Yeah. Now, as our friends at Right Wing Watch point out, oh no, the name of it, the Foundation for Moral Law. That's some of your inevitable rights there, I reckon. That's the outfit that his wife runs. His wife is Kayla Moore. But among other things, this past September, as Right Wing Watch points out, Judge Roy Moore, not to be confused with Judge Roy Beam, who actually probably knew considerably more law than Roy Moore and had never seen the inside of a law school. Judge Roy Moore says that Kim Davis up there, Sister Clerk Kim Davis, yeah, he said she's just like a victim of the Nazi Holocaust. Hold your horses, Gerald. I didn't, and you're not. You can't make me say Hitler. No! Damn it. But no, Roy Moore thinks that Kim Davis is just like someone who was murdered, gassed, and then cremated at Auschwitz. Mm-hmm. We're talking about some real, live, honest to Jesus brains. Right. So this evening, fairly soon, President Obama is going to hold a town hall. And you remember how the other night I said that every day he's in office, Barack Obama is in more danger than the day before? Well, this is a case of that. This evening, Thursday evening, the 7th day of January 2016, the President of the United States is going to George Mason University to hold a town hall to talk about firearms. And, of course, the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-dementalist, homosexuals are all in a lather. Because that Obama, that Kenyan Muslim, you slurper, he's a-coming for our guns. We've been a-waiting for him to be a-coming for our guns for nigh 7 years now, and he's finally on his way, and we're ready. Like I said, it's taking place at George Mason University. Authorities there have felt it prudent to warn students who try to attend classes at George Mason University for their own safety that gun-carrying thugs may very likely be on campus this evening in advance of the town hall meeting. University Police Chief Thomas Longo said, "Due to the sensitive nature of the topic, we will likely see protesters on campus, some of whom may be carrying weapons. Please be advised that it is lawful to carry firearms in Virginia, and this includes at public outdoor spaces on our campus. University police are aware of this and will have officers present to ensure that all protesters remain law-abiding and maintain the safety and well-being of Mason's faculty, students, and staff." Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, what that means is that the university police will stand around until such time as one of the lawful gun owners, in the blink of an eye, transforms himself into an awful gun owner by, I don't know, maybe trying to Second Amendment somebody or squeezing off a round or two. Right. So take a moment and let that sink all the way in. The President of the United States of America is not entitled to go somewhere for the purposes of doing his job and being able to say nobody gets to bring guns except people who are duly sworn, bonded, trained, you know, law enforcement, military, that kinds of folks. Does that make you scream a little bit? nice inquiry coming in from Ron in the, I presume, frozen north. Heck, we got up to 52 here today. Ron asks, would you like to hazard a guess with respect to how many Secret Service snipers have been in place peeing into a bag all day since before dawn this morning? I hope that number is conservatively estimated at a lot. But it really doesn't change the amazing nature of my observation. The President of the United States of America, the single most powerful human being on the planet is not allowed to insist that the place he is going not allow people who are untrained, who are unexamined, whose mental health and sanity has not in any wise been ascertained. The president and the Secret Service are not allowed to say those people can't bring guns. Now, there will be about 100 representatives from gun rights and gun control groups who will ask questions of the president. The Onion reporting earlier today that White House staff have said that they will instantaneously discard any question that begins with "Mein Führer" or "You Islamic Kenyan dictator, you," and, well, it's going to mean a lot of questions got thrown out. Now, this is taking place at George Mason University in Virginia, which is not at all far from Fairfax, Virginia, which is the home of a big glass cube of a building that houses the National Republican Rifle Association. Mm-hmm. And wanting to be inclusive and not divisive.
He's the divider in chief is what he is.
But not wanting to be divisive, the White House reached out to the National Rifle Association and invited those blood-soaked maniacs and owners of a significant portion of our government to attend the event. National Rifle Association, of course, responded, saying, "We won't attend no event with that Kenyan Muslim you slurper who hates our freedom." Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting. I'm sure it'll be televised. Who's going to carry that? Who's going to have that? Let me know. And depending on what time it starts, maybe we'll try to monitor some of it. Okay. So just to recap, the Secret Service is going to have to be on double secret probation alert, night vision goggles and talking to their wrists and all of that stuff. Because there's likely going to be people all over the George Mason campus with their freedom protectors.
Wolverines, Kenyan Muslims, you slurpers.
Yeah. The college Republicans there at George Mason said, "The purpose of this protest is to support the Second Amendment and oppose President Obama's anti-gun agenda. The president will be on campus for a town hall event in the Johnson Center that is actually closed to the public, although many have been led to believe it's open." On the issue of open carry tonight, "I'm a veteran of 2 combat deployments. I care as much about protecting our constitutional rights as anyone. However, I don't see what bringing weapons does for the cause." That was Lee Wolf. "There was no net benefit in us bringing firearms. It'll instead give the media a great opportunity to paint us as nutcases," which they are, "even though we know nothing could be further from the truth." Well, I mean, if being further from the truth is having the truth right on top of you, well, yeah, kind of. "My opinion is that we should forego open carry at tonight's event." And, of course, that presupposes that in that case they'll just, you know, concealed carry. But that didn't, Lee Wolf's admonition didn't carry much weight. Another person responded, "So by not open carrying, we are submitting to their agenda, are we not? Peaceful law-abiding citizens, open carrying, in accordance with Virginia law, sends the right message." And depending on how one defines right message, I suppose. I said, "Who's carrying this thing?" And the toaster answer for the night comes from Carol Baker. "Probably every network in the hope, every network in the country in the hopes of getting an assassination on live TV." I wish that wasn't true. I wish that didn't feel true to me. Now, there are going to be people there in support. The Virginia Coalition for Gun Violence Prevention will hold a rally. And they will thank the president for his limited executive action. Our country. Ron notes, "Bob, I've had 4 combat deployments, and that guy is an asshole with a skewed agenda." Well, amen. Maybe he could run off to the bird sanctuary. Defend freedom there. Meanwhile, and Jennifer in Australia has a very trenchant point here. But Bush could squadron off people in free speech zones for wearing T-shirts he didn't like. Yes. People got arrested for wearing T-shirts that did not meet the approval of a dim leader. That happened in West Virginia, as a matter of fact. And anytime dim leader was speaking, the free speech zone was usually 2 or 3 counties over. So that dim leader would not even have to know that there were people out there who didn't approve of his reign of error. But that one, President Blackenstein, he's not even allowed to go to a college campus where they will guarantee him a gun-free zone. And see, I know the right-wing gun goobs. I know that they say that more guns creates more safety. They say that. But they're also crazier than sprayed roaches. If you had a gun-free zone, then all the Secret Service would have to do would be keep their eyes peeled for one gun. Or rather, any gun. Those snipers who've been peeing in a bag since sunup, on the other hand, in this case, are somewhat hamstrung, are they not? Because they have to make a determination as to which person with a gun is not a threat to the safety of the President of the United States and is not engaged in some sort of activity that would qualify as a defined federal felony. And here's the fun part. That Secret Service sniper can't know that until the lawful gun owner decides to become awful. Decides to, drop the L. I'll just be awful. Because by operation of stupid, blood-soaked gun laws like those of the Old Dominion of Virginia, because of the operation of those laws,
every person with a firearm is presumptively A-OK, Joe. Those Secret Service snipers cannot presume anyone to be a danger who has a gun on the campus of that university tonight. In fact, they have to all be presumed to be good, God-fearing, law-abiding, upstanding citizens of the new United States of America and the Old Dominion, Virginia. See what a mess this is? Yeah. I get every day makes me a little more nervous. And I don't think there's ever going to be a day from now on that I'm not wondering if Barack Obama is safe from the American patriots, even after he leaves office. And remember, friends, neighbors, remember, the motto on the state flag of Virginia is, or was, let's see if it's is or was. Yeah, son of a bitch, it's still there. A Latin, it's a Latin phrase. They've had this flag since 1776. It shows a woman with a spear and a sword and one breast hanging out, standing with her foot. I mean, that's either a woman or a pre-op transsexual who's already had the hormone therapy. I mean, standing with her foot on the body of somebody wearing a purple, a short purple dress with a crown off to one side. And other underneath it, it says, Sic Semper Tyrannis. Now that translates as, so always with tyrants. And for those who do not remember, those are the words uttered, yelled, by a certain actor in April of 1865 when he leapt from the presidential balcony of Ford's Theater down onto the stage. We're talking, of course, about John Wilkes Booth, who had just put a bullet through the brains of Abraham Lincoln. Sic Semper Tyrannis. Now, what do the wingnuts, what are they forever calling Barack Obama? A tyrant. And out there at the Alamo Bird Sanctuary, what are those seditious goons? What do they presume to be engaged in? Why, they're fighting government tyranny. Absolutely, positively. It's worrisome. And not just a little bit. And it becomes no less worrisome when one realizes that this is the same Secret Service that began its service to Barack Obama upon his becoming president by being caught in a scandal in which upper-level management of the Secret Service were sending around emails with nigger jokes. Hate that word. But that is what they were. Jennifer in Australia says, I thank you for pointing this out. When I wrote to friends and family in the U.S., bitching about W's free speech zones, they wouldn't believe me, Bob. They said I was spewing interweb garbage. Part of our problem is people are not paying attention. What, 10,000 miles and a day extra away, and I knew... Yeah. Some sheeple need to wake up. Thank you, Horn Family Commune Community Congregation, for being so awake. We're good at that, Jennifer. Thank you. It's about all we got. Yes, Brother Deacon Asa observing that with Sic Semper Tyrannis on the flag of the Commonwealth of Old Virginia. Asa says, so essentially the flag of Virginia says Allahu Akbar in Latin. Pretty close. Pretty close, indeed. So therein is this evening's Thorn in the Side Thursday filibobster. Oh, there's more. Sweet Jesus, there's more. Lots and lots and lots more. Too much more. And I would suggest you not put away the the hockey puck or have it very far out of reach at all. I mean, for God's sakes, I think poor little Alex Jones's head's going to explode. Yeah, no kidding. He says, in anticipation of tonight's town hall regarding the tepid, almost nothing at all moves that the president is doing by executive order. Well, he's a one-trick pony. Actually, he's a one-trick jackass, but who's counting? Have the hockey puck handy. Stand by.
This is it, boys. The globalist attempted takedown of America.
Uh-huh.
And they're trying to start a civil war as well. There's a five-minute report. Obama's gun grab crosses the Rubicon. As one big media insider sent me an email yesterday, put it, strap yourselves in, Obama is set to release hell. Well, you reap the wind, you.
Yeah, kind of blew that, didn't you there, Alex? Yeah, you reap something, wind. I know, given what these executive orders say, Obama has unleashed heck. Or maybe... darn it.
Absolutely know that in the end, tyranny will fall. But this is quite a time to be alive.
What did I tell you? Tyranny. 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 Well, this is a lovely dinner you've prepared. Would you please pass the tyranny? What are we having for dessert? Tyranny Mizu.
This is a five-minute report. We're just going to play part of it that John Bound filed. Here it is.
Obama's dictatorial national policy strategy is forming into what can only be described as a global government coordinated subterfuge of the land.
That's a big mouthful of, if that's the only way you can describe it, son. I think we're going to have to work on your haiku skills.
Language of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
It wasn't the first time I had to talk to the nation in response to a mass shooting, nor would it be the last. Fort Hood, the Navy Yard, Santa Barbara.
Isn't it cool how they've got the synthesizer music behind him, the evil synthesizer music? I wonder who the secretary of evil synthesizer music is there in the Obama administration.
Charleston.
Notice how he mentioned Fort Hood and San Bernardino. Those were actually jihads, not mass shootings by the mentally ill or even proven workplace violence. So it stands to reason, if a small percentage of mass shootings are already jihads, you better believe Americans are going to need to be packing heat. Of course, this is only the beginning of the propaganda on parade. Here's a reminder. A little-known decades-old anti-propaganda law known as the Smith-Mundt Act was silently deep-sixed on July 2nd of 2013. Essentially, unlimited government propaganda can now be unleashed to control the seething grievances of the American people.
So seething? The grievances are seething. My, I love me a good participle just as much as the next guy, but seething? Seething? Why not suppurating? That's just a little icky, isn't it?
What is it that Obama is selling this time? Nothing less than an affront to the absolute law of the land. A huge swath of Social Security beneficiaries will...
Oh, shut up. Go and change Obama.
Every year, guns are in the 40s or 50s or 60s as the cause of death. But it's spectacular. It's hyped up like shark attacks. Now, when you look at all of this.
Oh, and by the way, they're featuring a screen cap from InfoWars that says, Obama's gun grab crosses the Rubicon. These bastards are trying to incite one of the many millions of deeply mentally ill people who pay attention to these sorts of programs. They are actively trying to incite an attempt on the life of the President of the United States. Crosses the Rubicon. Come on, we know. Who crossed the Rubicon, boys and girls? That's right. Gaius Julius Caesar. Mm-hmm. The House of the Julii. Julii. No J's in Latin, you know. Made it tough to be Jesus. Of course, there weren't any J's there either. Yeshua. J's kind of a modern English thing, I guess. Caesar crossed the Rubicon. And what happened to Caesar? Well, he got declared dictator for life. And what did Brutus and Cassius and the rest of it? Cassius has a lean and hungry look. What did they accuse him of? That's right, being a tyrant. So what did they do? They murdered him. Now, these neo-maxi Zoom dweebies hoot and holler about government propaganda, but that's all any of this is. And but this goes further because it's an attempt at mind control. It's an attempt to influence other people to take specific illegal acts upon the life of the elected President of the United States. And we let this crap flow all over the country under a misguided understanding
of the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. What Alex Jones is doing is probably illegal and would be illegal in any number of other countries that happen to also have freedom and be civilized. Hello. Oh, hey, look. Yeah, Ron's still up in Canada where you can't do what he does. No matter what side of the political spectrum you're on. Later on in this seemingly endless, godforsaken clip, Alex Jones says, "They're coming for our guns to enslave us. They admit that. They want false flags, and they've laid the groundwork in media, in entertainment, in culture, that patriots that are promoting private property, the family, the Second Amendment, and pro-life are racist scum who deserve to be racist and who are going to blow things up so they can blow things up and blame it on us." I don't even know what parts of that word salad mean, who deserve to be racist. I'm telling you, as sure as the sun came up this morning, which it didn't, the sun never comes up. When we say the sun comes up and goes down, we're kind of hearkening backwards to the days when we thought the sun revolved around the earth, and we really do need to find a better shorthand way of saying that so that those of us who are not stupid can stop participating in the stupid. I'm telling you, as sure as the sun came up this morning, they've got the teams on the ground in place waiting for the phone calls with the trucks loaded with the plastic explosives to blow up federal buildings, and they're going to blame me by name and Matt Drudge by name and Rush Limbaugh by name and Donald Trump by name within 20 minutes of the bombs going off, or a special ops team from Europe shooting up a school, killing a patriot, leaving them at the scene. And this guy's making millions of dollars peddling this filth. I know their playbook. I know what they've done before. I know this Justice Department, and God help us all, I can tell you. God help us. This is the takeover of the Republic. This is the fall of the Republic. And again, with the Republic language, what were Brutus and Cassius? He has a lean and hungry look. What were they going to do? They were going to restore the Republic. Now, mind you, for 150 years, the Republic had been torn asunder by the limitless, monstrous egos of individual wealthy Roman men. And that's what they were going to restore. And, of course, what they wound up doing was driving Rome inexorably toward autocratic imperial rule. Everything they accuse the government of, they themselves are doing. And they know it. But, by God, there's really, really, really good money in it. Another false flag? I don't think so. This was up not too far from Sparky, Redding, California. Witnesses called 911 about 6 p.m. Tuesday evening to report a man carrying on and shooting a weapon, firing indiscriminately at the apartment building. At one point, he grabbed Kathy Lunsford, who lives in the building, and pulled her into his apartment and started shooting. Kathy Lunsford said, "As soon as he shut the door, he hugged me and he kissed me on the forehead." And she said, then he started firing. She fired at a person, and she begged him to stop. He was aiming at a guy, and then he just got sloppy. He was shooting everywhere. Now the witnesses heard what he was saying. What was he saying? He was babbling on and on and on about that Obama coming for our guns. Mm-hmm. He finally exited the building, but he was holding the gun and would not drop the gun. At which point, he was blown away. David Rice, who lives near the apartment complex, said, "We heard the five shots. Everyone was screaming. He came out screaming, 'Obama, Obama, Obama!' Cops kept telling him to come out with his hands up. 'No, no, no!' He walked in and out of his apartment at least 10 times before the police shot and killed him. Accounts differ between various neighbors, some saying there were at least 30 rounds fired by the police, others said up to 70. One neighbor recorded it all on his phone, or her phone. Police confiscated the phone, so no one gets to see the video. Description of the man? Well, you know, he was a young black fella. No. No, he was a white man in his 50s. The Reading Record Spotlight said that a letter from the National Rifle Association addressed to the individual was posted on the apartment's front window. It was they were dunning him to pay up for a DVD that he bought from them titled Combat Shooting and Home Defense Tips. A person described as a longtime friend said he suffered from depression, anger, and bouts of confusion for many years. And, of course, he had a record. He pleaded no contest in 2009 to the illegal discharge of a weapon. He was sentenced to 60 days in jail, and then he was sentenced to an additional 45 days in jail the next year on a probation violation. He had a misdemeanor battery charge dismissed in 2004. And still had a 9mm Beretta handgun. You want to sort that one out for me? Mentally ill, criminal convictions, still has a gun. Anybody? Bueller? I know. Gerald says, "That's right, Bob. They're fucking seething." I guess we could say that dude in Reading was seething. Lots of seething going on. 18 past the hour. Yeah, let's do take a break. There's just too much more to do. And I gotta catch a quick breather. You know how to reach the program if you want to engage in conversation, do you not? Area code 304-574-8178. Area code 304-663-HORN. 304-663-4676. That's the stress line. And, of course, Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet. Bob Kincaid Horn. BobKincaidHorn. Bob Kincaid Horn. As previously noted, we try to raise about $200 per evening for any given broadcast. That's how we keep the bills paid here. We are at present at zero, which would make for a bit of a tough sledding for Friday on the front porch. $10 at $20, $20 at $10, $40 at $5. That's what it takes. Lots of lots of email to go through, too, when we get back from the break. It is... screw the break. If we take one, we'll take one at maybe at the top of the other hour. I hate to keep people waiting, and especially when it's a conversation I love to, with someone I love to talk to, like Will in Chicago. Hey, Will.
Hey, Bob, can you hear me?
I hear you magnificently.
No problem, new headset. So, first, Happy New Year, such as it is, even though, sadly, the planet Earth seems to constantly have a bumper crop of nuts, no matter what we do.
Yeah, amen.
The case of the president, with the rhetoric involved, I have long been worried for his safety. I have been worried for his safety since he became the candidate, simply because, as I mentioned in chat, I do recall another time, another political leader named Yitzhak Rabin, who in the 90s was working on a peace process with the Palestinians. The extreme right in his country and a few politicians chiming in, as well as media, extreme right-wing rabbis and others, branded him a traitor, a Nazi, and said, well, any action against him is justified by religious law and or the survival of the nation. So all it took was for a tired Rabin to listen to someone say, go to the peace rally. He didn't initially want to, but he didn't wear a protective vest. The Yigdal Amir was able to get within feet of him and kill a man who at least had the courage to pursue peace. Unfortunately, the rhetoric I am hearing from many in the right-wing spectrum, and this even goes beyond the official Stormfront people monitor and people monitored by the Southern Poverty Law Center, brings to mind the rhetoric used against Rabin prior to his assassination. While I have my questions about many of President Obama's actions, for example, not going after Wall Street as hard as Reagan did with the people in the savings and loan industry, I do not wish to see an American president dead. And the Secret Service has now gained a reputation only slightly better than that of the Keystone Cops with their scandals.
Well, I think that's what scares me.
That is what scares me, because I do not want to see another American president die, and I'm afraid that an assassination or an assassination attempt would be used by extreme fanatics to take horrible actions. For example, I mentioned in the Horn chat room, which, by the way, if you wish to support the Horn, Bob could use your help, because sadly, I think he, Mike Malloy, and Nicole Sandler did not get a visit from Soros' boss.
No, we didn't. Santa Soros, well, maybe it's because we don't have a chimney.
Yeah, and in the case of Nicole, he didn't even drop by with a wedding gift on New Year's Eve.
No, that's so. Just low.
Yeah, that's just low. So, it's as I say, we have to be the ones to save ourselves. If you're expecting a political messiah, don't. Because when you have someone who is truly remarkable, treasures such a man, a woman, as a gift from the universe itself. But it's the fanatics that I worry about, and the rhetoric is quite disturbing. I mean, we have a major presidential candidate who is called Mexican immigrants, rapists, and murderers, wants to ban Muslims from entering the U.S., and actually praised the forced removal of Japanese American citizens in World War II as something that was necessary and should be done. And FDR's descendants have viewed as a horrible stain on his legacy. It's just that we have to be active in our own communities against hate in any form. And you'll find willing allies in many places, not just civic organizations like the ACLU, which one of my rabbis in Chicago was, or at least was on the board of, but also in like-minded individuals. Because here's the thing. Whatever we believe or not believe, whatever motivates us, most of us are committed to the concept of a civil society where the rule of law prevails. Why do I support the rule of law? Well, let's see. As a member of a religious minority, I know what happens when a majority gets to make the rules with no limits. They too often become intoxicated with their own power, either out of faith, race, or politics, can easily be led astray. And that's what I fear is happening out in Oregon, even though I would like to refer to the, if you wish to call them militants or thugs, I prefer to think of them as the pillage idiots because they didn't even bring snacks. There were probably...
Did you say village idiots or pillage idiots?
Pillage idiots.
Yeah, that's nice. I'm liking that.
Right. Also, they are kind of dressing up as if they were actual militia or heroes, circa the movie Red Dawn. So maybe we should call them the pillage people and see if someone can come up with a YMCA themed song.
Oh, you got something going on there.
Yes, yes. And I mean, good heavens. The Plute in that region have asked them to go home. The majority white population in the area has asked them to go home. The county sheriff, whom they, in their weird, bizarre permutation of constitutional theory that I have never saw Adams or Madison or Hamilton or Jefferson argue, believe the highest official in a region is the county sheriff. The county sheriff has asked them to go home and said they should press charges. The way to treat them is, to me, as much as the hammer of vengeance might be enjoyable, is pretty much to let them stay in the cold, in the dark, and rely on each other's devices and gradually walk out smelling so bad that the skunks shy away from them. Because I'm sure they're going to get gamey soon. But we have people who make a good buck off of fanaticism, whereas people such as yourself, Bob, have to struggle to keep the horn afloat. And Ben Birch has struggled to do his remarkable work as well with the White Rose Society. So while we're worried about these issues, and justifiably so, if anyone can lend a hand, maybe join into the 400 Club for a prescription. For a subscription. Remember, what's the difference between the 400 Club and the 700 Club? Bob's not out to con you. And his audience is generally much more civil.
And don't forget, I don't have a plane.
You don't have a plane. I mean, you could maybe get a toy plane from Walgreens in your area, but that's pretty much all that's in the budget because it isn't easy to do.
Yeah, I mean, the only drone I have is the drone I do for 3 hours every night, Will.
Well, some of us do want to save you from the horror of the a three-hour-long filibuster because we want you to be able to say goodnight to Agnes and sound a bit better than Dick Cheney with a head cold. Which kind of sounds like this. I am your father, Luke. Sorry.
Agnes, I am your husband. Yeah, no.
But, I mean, good. I mean, I think we are at a crisis point for good or ill, using the phrase, the Chinese blessing curse, may you live in interesting times. I do see progress in many areas, despite such fanatics as Judge Roy Moore, who, if I was Justice of the Supreme Court, I would go to the Justice Administration and say there is a judge who is failing to comply with a direct order of the U.S. Supreme Court. I am filing an official complaint as a citizen of the U.S. because I don't believe my powers as a justice allow me to do so. And I could imagine, hi, we are the FBI, Justice Moore. You are in violation of several charges.
Devoutly to be wished, but honestly, Will, I think this administration's approach to all of these things, and maybe they're just a whole lot smarter than we are, is to ignore the Roy Moores and let the law take its course, and not give him and I understand the motivation and the theory behind this, not let him be a martyr.
Exactly, because you know, as soon as Obama would have done anything like that, you would have several people saying, aha, the angry black man. I'm not African-American, but I know of a lot of people I've dealt with in classrooms and as a teacher who've had to deal with some of the perceptions people lay on them. So hopefully Judge Moore will face the bar of justice and have to defend himself. I mean, how would I say it? This kind of reminds me of the last desperate actions of the dinosaurs after the asteroid, where you can imagine.
Yeah.
Right. Imagine a carnivore trying to dig into the carcass of a fleshly killed plant eater trying to grab some warmth as these little frozen pellets of rain fall amid the ash.
And you've started something. You've started something with the pillage people, Will. Michael, for instance, has an email here, and he says they could do a take on In the Navy called In the Militia. But I'll take it one further. How about a parody by the pillage people of In the Navy called With the Bundys? With the Bundys. Right.
That'll work, although ironically the original village people did have a song called Sodom and Gomorrah where they criticize violence towards others. And unfortunately, all the Bundy crew seems to be about is showing how tough they are and saying, we have this theory, the government will listen to us. Excuse me.
Well, if you want to read something fascinating about all this, over at Raw Story, Will, they have reposted a Reuters article titled Pizza Paranoia and Psychological Warfare, A Night Inside the Oregon Standoff. Apparently, Reuters got a couple of reporters in overnight to hang out with Team Bundy.
Yes. I will have to read it, although I'm already thinking of a variant on a phrase by Euripides. I'm sure you know the quote. Whom the gods would destroy, they first drive mad. Were Euripides brought back to us and brought up to speed on everything he would say, he might add, they're driving the clown car to the edge of the Grand Canyon is almost finished.
Well, there's the truth of it.
So, I mean, we should not be afraid because there are people who are counting on our fear and our apathy. As I mentioned to a friend who does a radio show in Phoenix, what is extremely distressing about our system of government is when we have a municipal or county election, too often only 30% of the people vote. So that means that the winner, if he just wins by a bare majority, perhaps got 15.5% or 16%. This is the danger of inaction. Well, Noam Chomsky and Howard Zinn argue that activism goes far beyond voting, and I believe that. Part of the idea of voting is you keep the fanatics away from the controls. And I did notice while looking at Daily Kos that you have another candidate for West Virginia governor, the person who...
Booth Goodwin has entered the race, and he's the former U.S. attorney who prosecuted
Don Blankenship and really, really showed Don Blankenship what for by getting him convicted of a misdemeanor. But that's not his fault. It's not Booth Goodwin's fault that the federal law is designed to protect the Don Blankenships of the world, and that violating safety regulations that lead to the deaths of 29 minors, that's just a misdemeanor. That's not his fault. And
right.
He did say one thing that I liked. He said that he agreed with Gert, you know, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin, who has to leave. He agreed with Gert's decision to accept the Medicaid expansion.
Well,
so that's encouraging, because I have no doubt that as soon as these good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals get their legislating on here in a couple of weeks, they're probably going to come after poor people's health care.
I'm not surprised. Here's the thing. We seem to have a nation which is falling into a bizarre marriage of extreme Calvinism and Ayn Rand's teachings. And having read what I could about Ayn Rand, I haven't bothered with the fiction, because when I hear that a lot, a key chunk of a person's biggest novel is a diatribe, which not even one of her fans admitted he could finish, I tend to shy away from that, because if I want to be inspired or informed. But I mean, quite literally, we now have a war on the poor, and too often the poor are just too worn out or tired to try to participate in civic life. And then you have people who say, aha, look, they're getting something for nothing, and we're paying for it. And then they fall into the GOP, who will ultimately undermine their benefits, because we can outsource any job. And as long as we are getting our donations from the big money guys, we will do exactly what they want. I mean, I refer to this era as the Gilded Age 2.0. Less interesting personalities, better toys.
Amen.
Well, look, at least when Diamond Jim Brady in the 1800s spent money, he did it in a big way. He would have feasts that would make a Roman emperor say, not bad, not bad at all. But Donald Trump is a sideshow. He wants, I think he does want to be president, because he's very egotistical. But I mean, I think Vladimir Putin is only praising him in the hopes of, he gets in, I eat this man alive. I don't think Trump could last 5 minutes negotiating with Putin.
No. It would be embarrassing.
Yes, it would be embarrassing. And I'm afraid Trump's response to anything is to use a hammer. When he has spokespeople who say, having a nuclear triad and not using it makes little sense, I question the fitness of that candidate to run anything larger than a garbage truck. So, I mean, good heavens, there are weapons that I wish could be uninvented, because I don't think we have the wisdom to know what to do with them, short of throwing them at an asteroid heading towards the planet. But in the case of our politics and society, we better get active, because if we don't raise our voices and don't act, other people will. Other people are. And we need outlets such as The Horn. And as I said earlier, if anyone feels so moved, please donate. And if you can, listen in, share the ideas, be active in some ways. I didn't have much money when I lived in Phoenix in 2008, but I was still able to go in, vote, go in, cast my own vote, and also canvass for candidates. So how did we do? Well, the adopted son of Arizona, because he's a native of the Panama Canal, John McCain, only got 2% ahead of the president and the folks. A lot of the Republicans in Maricopa County got challenged. Unfortunately, some are still there, but we have to realize right-wing is in it for a long haul. They've been in it for a long time. You could say since Goldwater or since William F. Buckley, but it's a long process. We have to remember we have to be as determined. And I think one flaw we have on the progressive side of things is too often we just focus on a single cause. We have a common cause, our mutual survival and the survival of our civil liberties and rights to the end goal of leaving a better world behind for those who come after us. That's a very simple goal that we should be able to unify around, but too often I think people who are on the same side don't understand. I mean, you've complained numerous times about people who come into Appalachia with all sorts of big ideas and end up alienating people. Why? Because they don't know the history, they don't know the culture. You have to speak someone's language.
You have to be respectful, Will.
Exactly. I mean, you have to be respectful. Here's the thing. If I came in as an outsider doing something somewhere, I'd at least like to have someone local with me to guide me so I don't accidentally offend anyone. And if people see, okay, this guy's working with someone local, he's well-intentioned, maybe I'll give him a fair hearing. But if I came in saying, this is the way it has to be, excuse me, people in Appalachia and many other communities have had that, and to no good end. I mean, good heavens, considering our own treatment of the Native Americans who were sent to schools for, quote-unquote, their own good, where they were not treated in any way that can be defined as morally good. So we have to remember our own strength and our own potential for goodness, and while we're out there, continue to support those we agree with, such as yourself. I am supporting Senator Sanders because I believe he will, if elected, and I realize his path to a victory in the party won't be easy, will be willing to take up a Wall Street that is in such bad need of reforms that I worry that the whole House of Cards could collapse and that the situation is actually worse
Will, the most frightening thing about Wall Street is that we know that left to their own devices, they're like a little boy sitting in an apple tree eating green apples.
Well, actually,
they know what it's going to do to them, and they just can't stop.
Exactly. I mean, it's kind of like the Borg in Star Trek. They see something, they view it of value, they have to take it over, and they don't care about the means. Now we have derivatives which are worth more than the global economy can sustain. So if the derivative markets go under in 2016, whoever is in the White House come January of next year will have a hideous time because we could be forced into a depression. And the world does not need another Great Depression because I fear, in addition to the pain and the suffering of individuals, few regimes may become unstable.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, where Wall Street's concerned, they are inherently unstable, inherently unsustainable. And like that kid in the apple tree eating the green apples, Will, we're underneath the tree, and we're going to be underneath the tree when the green apples catch up with the kid.
And exactly.
Because, you know, when Wall Street gets sick, it's the rest of us that get shat on.
Right. Or as was said about France in the 1700s, when France sneezes, Europe catches cold. And I mean, we seriously need to have a debate about these issues. I am very unhappy with the schedule of debates. I'm wondering if Debbie Wasserman Schultz is going to schedule a debate at 3 a.m. Eastern on a Sunday morning opposite of a Turner Network a movie rerun of Key Largo.
Hey, you're maybe Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind, because, to be blunt...
Look, if Debbie Wasserman, if Debbie Wasserman Schultz could do it, she would schedule the next Democratic debate down the same well that Baby Jessica fell down in 1987.
Yes, but with no cameras. I mean, the joke is, I believe she is more effective than Rince Priebus, but then again, that's setting the bar so low. That's almost like likening a sea slug as speedy when compared to coral.
Yeah, that's not setting the bar low, Will. That's burying the bar.
Yeah, that's burying the bar so deep it might come out the other end of the planet.
Exactly, exactly.
But we have to realize our own power and potential, and that's something that I think the horn does, because very often we have voices that are not heard in the mainstream media. For example, I believe that Tweety and Wolf Blitzer would have heart palpitations if they had to air the Angry Indian for 10 minutes.
Oh,
they might have brain aneurysms.
They'd faint. Somebody'd have to get the smelling. Somebody'd have to run and borrow Lindsey Graham's smelling salts.
You know, hopefully he hasn't gone through all of them yet. But I mean, we need to remember that dialogue is important. That's what the horn is about. That's what many other good progressive shows are about. But if you tried to call in with a dissenting opinion on an issue to Rush Limbaugh or Mark Levin, the guy who's...
No. Let's be clear. Mark Levin.
Mark Levin.
Yeah, Mark Levin is entering the Virginia legislature.
And kudos to him. But Levin.
Just think of him as the guy with the voice made for print.
Please, the guy who makes me almost sound like Sean Connery. I am sorry.
Oh, toaster. Somebody get a toaster.
We have a progressive talk AM station, which has a local signal. And he whose voice should be in print and probably in clay tablets starts feeding in late at night when the Dallas signal comes in. And my reaction is, who is this guy? Why did they let him go on the air with a head cold worse than my damn allergies?
Well, that's the thing. You mentioned clay tablets. He sounds like he gargles with them.
Well, that's slightly better than
I almost got a laugh out of you, Will.
Yeah. Well, that's slightly better than Alex Jones, who sounds like he must be pre-facing tectonic plates.
Yeah, right. With Alex Jones, after I do an Alex Jones story on the program, I have to spend the rest of the night gargling warm bourbon. Damn, I hate it when that happens.
Yes, well, I mean, it's a waste of good bourbon to have to gargle it, but hopefully...
No, I don't spit it out, trust me.
Good, because I like to say, without Alex Jones, I mean, where else can we have a candidate such as Trump go on the air with someone who has talked about shape-shifting reptiles?
Well, every time I hear Alex Jones, I remind myself, Selma Diamond is not dead.
No, just got a lot of surgery.
And not for the better, not for the better. Will, it's awful good to talk to you. I think we'll probably catch a little bit of President Obama's town hall just to see what it sounds like, and maybe another caller here before we go to that at 8 p.m. But it's awful good hearing from you. Thank you very kindly for your encouragement to the Horn family community congregation.
Stay strong and remember, Bob needs your help. He doesn't just have this thing run off of sheer willpower and good wishes.
And, you know, unicorn sparkle pony dust.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That is Donald Trump's secret code name for how he's going to lift up the middle class and the working poor.
Will, you take care. Good talking to you. Bye now. Will from Chicago. Thanks very kindly to Jennifer and Graham. We are started on the evening's fundraising, and we have only $180 to go. I'm sure Jennifer and Graham would like to have a little bit of neighborly fellowship, as it were, going forward through the evening. Let's run over to the stress line and talk to Jim in Nevada Stan. Hey, Jim.
What's up, Bob?
What do you know, man?
So far, it's been, as usual, really great. I like the how you pointed out how the sun doesn't come up. Of course, a lot of knuckle draggers when you grasp that concept. But, you know. That was right on, and then Will's Calvinism, and you know how much I love Calvinism. Calvinism and Rand, lovely. That was lovely.
Will is a treasure. I mean, Will is a genuine intellect, and he doesn't call a lot, but when he does, he brings his A game.
Oh, definitely. But the main reason I'm calling up is that I'm getting ready. I'm going to turn you off, and I'm going to. We've got a thing. What is it? Democracy Forum of America, which is going to be a Bernie Sanders. He's going to be taking questions and stuff.
Oh, really?
From MoveOn.org. So I guess if other people want to.
No, make them look for it themselves. I mean, I love Move On, and I love it, but, you know, I don't want people tuning away, Jim.
What's that?
I said I don't want people tuning away, for God's sakes.
Okay. I'm not saying you're in the ratings thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, you never know. I mean, you never know when George Soros is finally going to start listening. And, of course, there's also, I found this out earlier, there's also a Trump putsch tonight.
A Trump what?
Putsch. P-U-T-S-C-H. In fact, CNN's carrying the Obama town hall, but MSNBC is going to cover Trump's speech in Burlington, Vermont. And in fact, I just heard a couple of minutes ago from... where'd it go? From Steve in Vermont, he said, I'm streaming the Trump rally in Burlington. I don't want to. I have to. The Trump campaign distributed over 10,000 tickets in a 1,400-ticket venue. Wish me luck. Hey, it's going to take more than luck, Steve in Vermont. A lot more than luck.
Yeah. So that's what I'm up to. Let you go so I can... figure this stuff, make sure I get that thing on. I guess I'll catch the rest of your show later.
All right, sounds good, Jim. And you can report back to us on the substance of the Bernie event. I actually do care about that, and I'd kind of like to see it.
Actually, I do have from what I hear, we'll be able to ask questions, and I have one, which basically it's going to be how do we get our economy of this military-industrial complex roller coaster, which we've been on for the last 50-plus, since I've been alive, actually, since after World War II. You know, that's what it seems to me, because, I mean, and I've even heard, quote-unquote, historians say that after World War II, so after that was supposedly, ignoring all of what Roosevelt did in the 30s, leading up to World War II, to get us out of the Great Depression, they attribute it to the buildup of the military-industrial complex. So, ergo, that's what you need. Things that blow up, really expensive, don't employ a lot of people. It sounds like the military-industrial complex. You know, doesn't spread the wealth around, but of course they like that. So I'll let you go.
All right, Jim, you take care. Have a good night, man.
All right.
Bye now.
See you later.
Our buddy Jim in Nevada Stan, and back over to the Skype line where Carol Baker awaits.
Carol, hey, Carol.
Well, hey, how are you?
What's happening?
What's happening?
Oh,
Oh dear, I think we've got the wrong iPad.
Uh-oh. Hang on. No, this is the good one. It's echoing?
Yes.
Yes.
Damn it. I'm going to hang up and call back.
Okay, that'll be
okay,
fine.
That'll
I'll
be
wait
fine.
For
I'll
you
wait
right
for
here.
You right here.
Okay.
Yeah, little technical issue that... let's try this again. Hopefully all better now.
Hopefully. I'm turning down the volume. Hopefully that'll help.
We're perfect so far.
Okay, cool. Cool. No, I was sitting amusing myself on Twitter watching the whole Dumb and the Restless at the Turd Sanctuary.
Well, you gotta read this Reuters report, Carol. It's almost as delightful as what's described in Bundy erotic fanfic.
Really?
Yeah.
Do tell.
I mean, they talk about how Ammon has occupied the cozy and cluttered office of Linda Sue Beck. Now, who is Linda Sue Beck? Well, she's one of those people who's putting her tyrannical jackboots down on the freedom-loving necks, et cetera. She's a biologist, Carol.
Oh, one of those sciencey people.
Yes, one of those knowing stuff people. And they said she is free to come and gather her personal belongings for her office, but she ain't ever going to be coming to work back here. She's not here working for the people. She's not benefiting Merca. She's part of what's destroying Merca.
Yeah, biologists are like that.
Out there, yeah, and I get now. Tell me, I'm not sure because I didn't. I took geology, not biology, in college. But do you have to get into the graduate level, like the 500 level, before you take your biology of destroying America seminar class?
No, that's biology one. That's not even 100. That's one. That's for the white helmeted special people.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they call her Carp Lady.
Carp Lady.
Because she has pictures of fish on her walls.
Oh.
Now, here's another sure sign of hating Merca.
Communism.
Yep. First they came for the carp.
Oh, but I found something truly, truly beautiful. I love Ken Burns documentaries.
Oh, yeah.
Love them. Somebody made a YouTube letter from an Oregon militiaman in the genre of Ken Burns.
Oh God, that's got to be precious.
It is on my Facebook wall. Take a moment and cue it up and play it because it
I'm so doing it right now.
It's golden.
Because one of the things they mention here in this article is, let me see here. Ammon Bundy sits at her desk with his laptop, making and taking call after call with journalists, supporters, and local government officials. A birthday card, a book called Fisheries Techniques, and other office adornments appear largely undisturbed, save for a spot on Beck's desk, cleared to make room for boxes of pizza and bullets. The protesters in this Reuters article, they're protesters. They're not goddamn seditionists. The protesters make coffee in an adjoining kitchenette that doubles as a science laboratory.
Well, you know, they're getting to come and go as they please. They get to go out to dinner. They can come and go. You know, they can go to town, go to dinner, come back. Nobody's stopping them.
No. And I don't, I mean, they're making these calls. They've got internet coming in there. I guess what? Because that area, that place has, does it have wireless? I mean, can the federal government not at least turn off their goddamned internet?
Well, I'm shocked that the feds haven't sent them all Barca loungers and a big screen so that they can watch the grievance channel.
I didn't know there was one, but I'm not surprised if there is.
It's called Fox News.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you got
the
me.
The White Grievance Channel?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, well, I'm headed to your Facebook page now.
It's too good not to share.
No, this may be...
Letter from an Oregon militiaman. It's beautiful. And I don't know who did the voiceover in it, but it's fabulous.
Oh, have you seen what Tony posted?
Yes.
The urine-colored snake flag with tire tracks across the goddamn rattlesnake, and all it says underneath is, God damn it.
God.
Oh, okay, so here we go. Hold on, I'm getting it queued up. Stand by.
My dearest Kathy, the nights are long and cold here on the front lines of the ultimate battle for American liberty. Today we lost two men, one to a gout flare-up and the other to a peanut allergy. Cell phone reception is weak, but our spirits are strong, despite the snack shortage you might have heard about on the news. At your earliest convenience, my love, please send more beef jerky, along with Twizzlers, flavored creamers, and also some of them pizza-flavored combos I like. The pretzel ones, not the weird cracker ones that look like a dog treat. Tell Brantley and Zoe their stepdaddy loves them, and know that I love you too, my darling. If I should fall to the forces of tyranny out here on this cold, cold earth, please clear my browser history and delete all the tweets where I called Obama the N-word. Tell the people I was a patriot whose only crime was loving freedom just a little too much. All right, gotta go now. They're picking teams for volleyball. With much love, your devoted husband, Keith.
Oh, that's precious.
Tell me that is not Oscar worthy.
Oh, that is. That may be the funniest thing on the, certainly the funniest thing that's hit the internet in 2016.
I think they ought to do a whole mockumentary on this fiasco.
Gotta go now. We're picking teams for volleyball.
The pretzel ones, not the cracker ones.
Look like a dog treat. Oh, that's beautiful.
Isn't it heaven?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So yeah. You just got another like from me. Where do you find this stuff?
Hey, I'm a giver.
Yes, you are.
I'm the ninja. I find all the cool stuff.
Oh, that's it, yeah. And by the way, fan mail coming in. Jennifer down in Australia says, "Yay, a Carol." So I finally took a look at the Oregon gun goons. Wow, I agree. Drone the turds, though I understand not wishing to give them their fight. On the other hand, I had to laugh. Give someone a toy and they're going to want to play with it. Graham bought himself an electric hedge trimmer. Within weeks, our entire property became a jardin à la française. I swear he tried to topiary the tomato plants. These gun... Okay, so that's the second toaster of the evening.
That's good. That's really good.
These gun jerk-offs remind me of a neighbor across the street. A few months ago, I looked out the front window to see a strange man on a riding mower clipping our lawn. A neighbor from down the way who, in order to assuage his retirement madness, was given a ride-on mower. Graham said for weeks he watched him go around and around his front yard. Then he was mowing the public verge, then his immediate neighbors, and eventually the entire street, both sides, until last week he chopped up someone's water meter, creating a Hatfield-McCoy situation. But anyway, this loon squad looked like a silly bored gun lickers who, being bored with shooting beer bottles, drummed up this stunt so they could go out and play in someone else's backyard. But these days, clownish temper tantrums are also morphing into presidential candidacies, so yeah, drone them. Why? Because isn't it kind of maybe racist not to? If they were any other color other than gray, pink, and unarmed, they'd have been dead on day one.
It's true.
I like that. It is racist not to drone these bastards.
It is. But the whole idea
but poor Kathy.
They were emboldened by not being held accountable for the horse shit they did in Nevada.
Yeah.
Now they're allowed to come and go as they please. They can go to dinner. They can break in. They've stolen. They've hotwired heavy equipment to blockade the building. And why aren't they turning the lights off? Why do these assholes still have Wi-Fi and running water? That's why I said, what the hell are they going to do? next? What is it with the feds? Is it Barker Launders and a big screen? They're living better than me. And I'm living within the law.
Yeah, well, and apparently the desperate cry for snacks was answered.
Absolutely.
And you can just walk right up there and bring them a case of Jolly Ranchers. Those things are hell on your teeth, by the way.
Yeah.
But I got a note from note from Robert in Australia.
Yeah.
Who says you know, with a reference, a back reference to the Port Arthur massacre. You know, just a gentle reminder that Australia is not wallowing in unfreedom as a result of as a result of the fact that. They did something about guns. He says, after the Port Arthur massacre, 3- and 4-year-olds were murdered. Our prime minister at the time, John Howard, actually did something and introduced new gun laws, which severely restricted gun ownership. In all of his time as PM, it's the one thing he did that I have respect for. When he introduced the laws, he addressed a small crowd of gun supporters outside Parliament House while wearing a bulletproof vest. The media made a big deal about that, but I think it was the smart thing to do. Nothing happened except that the prime minister was booed, but he was used to that. The only people who were unhappy about the new laws were those who probably shouldn't have had access to the weapons they wanted anyway. Not guns that they needed, guns. And I think we have to make that clear here, too. These aren't guns that these pasty-faced, doughy white people, these paranoids, need. They're guns they want.
Absolutely.
And Robert notes, I'm as free now under Australia's strict gun control laws as I was before the Port Arthur massacre, probably freer and definitely safer.
There you
go. So, but you know, we can't, you know, we can't sort that out.
Well, that's just too complicated a concept for the knuckle draggers. And then, did you hear Chris Christie says he's changed his mind about gun laws?
Yeah, you know? Well, I mean, I know he accused Barack Obama of acting like a king with these executive orders. And the first thing that occurred to me was no, engaging in a fit of petty pique and closing down a bridge and getting someone killed. That's more king-like when you get right down to it, Mr.
Well, you know, he's also changed his mind about prostitution laws when the John is Wayne LaPierre.
What?
I said if he's changed his mind about gun laws, then he's also changed his mind about prostitution laws when the John is Wayne LaPierre.
Well, amen, and he's the one, and he's the one whose dresser the money's being left on, right?
Well, either that or he's his pimp.
Good God. Another new name coming in from Glenn.
Yes.
The Arctic Circle Jerks. I mean, there's a lot of comedy gold coming out of this, Carol.
Well, they're getting a free reach around from the Republican Party.
That's just gross. I could have done without that.
Hey, I'm a giver, bud. I give it all.
And by the way, going back to the Bristol Palin story and Dakota Meyer, Luda said the proud and with the reference to the word Dakota, the proud and honorable name of my people, Lakota, Dakota, Nakota, has been turned into a fucking hillbilly redneck namesake. This makes me sad, Luda says. Then they always pronounce it wrong. Then when I say it correctly, I'm the bad guy.
Of course.
And I probably need to learn the correct pronunciation myself. I'm sure I just white folks the hell out of that.
Well, we work with what we have.
Hey, well, yeah, and look, the Tennessee River. Yeah, there's no place called Tennessee in Great Britain that was named after.
No.
Oh, and then as Texas Betsy reminds me, there's always Crisis Christian ISIS, which is also yeah. Because see, that's like the Reuters thing, you know, the referring to them as protesters, bullshit. Giving them any kind of intellectual space that treats them as anything but the petulant, spoiled, dirt dumb, hopelessly ignorant, irretrievably idiotic people that they are, again, affords legitimacy and defeats any sense of accountability. And that's what I want out of this, Carol. I want some damned accountability. I want these son of a bitches treated as harshly as people of color are who have done far less.
Sure.
I want that sedition statute hauled out and used. I mean, for instance, the woman whose office they're occupying. Now, I don't know if she's still getting paid. I hope she is. But in occupying that and saying they don't want her to have a job anymore, and I'll leave this for the brilliant legal minds out there, and we've got them, people like Billable Rick and Steve in New York. Aren't these asshats engaging in something called tortious interference with business relations? To win the business relationship between the biologist and her employer, the federal government? Because wouldn't it be delightful for her to file suit against them in, say, the federal court for whatever district of Oregon that is, and have a process server come up and serve those stupid fuckwits? And then they'd have 20 days to answer, or they'd get default judgment taken against them.
Bob, there's nothing serious being taken about what they're doing up there. The federal government can say that they're keeping a close eye on. All they had to do was take that group of diners and arrest them on the spot. As soon as they left there, or as soon as they got out of their trucks at the restaurant, take them. Arrest them.
Well, they do that to you. They do that to me. And God knows, people considerably darker than both of us put together
would be dead
and left bleeding in the street as a warning
on day one, not day five.
I mean, the fact that I read this article and they've got it. I mean, I was given to understand this is a fairly remote and desolate place. If not desolate, definitely remote.
It is.
Why do they have internet? I'm guessing, since there are guest cabins and stuff there, I'm guessing there's on-site Wi-Fi.
I'm guessing you're probably correct.
Why?
Why?
Why have not the power lines, the water lines, I mean, I don't know, maybe they're on wells. But if they're on wells, that means they need electricity for the pumps.
That's right.
Why has the power not been cut off to these fools?
I don't know.
Because, see, this will spread.
Oh, from what I'm understanding, they're gaining sympathy and people are planning to go up there and help them.
No, but somebody will go somewhere and occupy, I don't know, a federal fish aquarium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got I hate to even mention this. We've got a fishery up here in West Virginia. I don't know. Maybe that's the state, but we've damn sure got the Green Bank Radio Telescope Observatory, and we've got plenty of sedition seething just under the surface here. What happens when somebody decides to go do that? Will we just ignore them too?
I guess. I guess they can have it all.
It, And so we just...
I'm frustrated as hell over this.
Me too.
But so as not to give them any more airtime, I was curious about your opinion about what's going on in Flint, Michigan.
Oh, the poisoning?
Oh, man.
I haven't done that story justice, nor have I done... we've mentioned it. We've talked about it. The Porter Ranch, California disaster. It's no way of stopping it. I mean, this is like bad 50s science fiction movie time.
Exactly. No way of stopping it for months on end.
But to the extent that they just openly lied and people consumed that water based upon those lies, why is there nothing in the state code of Michigan or the federal criminal code to deal with someone who does that? Well, for the same reason that it's a misdemeanor to violate mine safety laws that get 29 miners burnt up.
And why? Who's going to pay for the problems that a generation of kids from that town?
Nobody.
Are going to deal with?
Nobody. Just like nobody's actually going to pay for the 300,000 poisoned people here who are in year number two of an involuntary experiment in nine counties in West Virginia, Carol. I mean, there was a newspaper story in the Charleston paper a couple of days ago saying that the state is on the verge of just shutting down any further investigation into the Freedom disaster. You know, because why bother?
Why? Because nobody's going to be made to pay for it anyway.
Well, yeah, and it's not like there's going to be anything. I mean, they've already weakened what little protection was put in place. And let's remember something. Just because Freedom Industries had all that stuff trucked up to an outfit near Pittsburgh doesn't mean that it's not coming back into this state. Every coal processing plant in this state, and they're still working, Carol, I promise you, they're still working. Coal isn't over here.
No.
Every coal processing plant in this state has this stuff on its site, and it can get loose at any minute. And the sad, sorry, sick people of the state I live in couldn't even muster up 1% of the poisoned people to go and demand something be done about it at the state capitol when it was going on. And you know, it being 2 years now, we stopped at one of those god-awful Chinese buffets for lunch on the way back home from the not-a-doctor appointment today.
We got one of those.
And they said, what do you want to drink? And usually I say water. And so I said water, and then I thought, what in the hell is wrong with me? 2 years, and I wasn't even thinking about it. I did not drink the water. They brought me the water. I did not drink the water.
Yeah.
But Flint, you know, what do you do? What should happen to a Rick Snyder? No, really. Go ahead and drink the water. The water's fine. We know. Never mind the fact that we know it's poisonous as hell. But no, really, go ahead and drink it. And of course, who are most of the people who are drinking that water?
Poor people, people of color.
I mean, that begins to smell a little bit like genocide now, doesn't it?
Well, you know, and here again, you know, we can talk about the war on poverty. I have a very firm stance on that whole thing. And that is, a war implies that both sides are armed. When one side is carpet bombing the other side that's equipped with nothing more than a thin coat and a straw mat, it's genocide.
Yeah, when one side has allegedly precision-guided missiles and the other has rocks.
Exactly. Yeah, I had some guy tell me the other day that white people were entitled to that land in Oregon because, you know, I obviously don't know how war works because...
Oh, I saw that. Oh, my God.
Because just because the white people had superior technology to win, then I don't know how war works. And I'm like, nope, sorry. When one side is armed with stone knives and handmade arrows and the other side has guns, it's still genocide. History, know it, learn it, live it.
Amen. And then there's the fact that, no, it was not a matter of warfare. This was stolen from a reservation that was contractually created by the people of the United States of America with the Northern Paiute.
That's right.
And they just chipped away. It started out as 1.5 million acres. Now it's down to 700. There were no wars for that.
And the truth is that when that reserve was created back in 1908, those farmers were paid.
Sure they were.
So nothing was stolen from them by the jackbooted thug. Teddy Roosevelt. I've never heard him called a jackbooted thug until recently.
Having heard the word so often, Jack in Shreveport went looking on Amazon for jackboots, and they're out there. Genuine World War II German-style jackboots. Get them while they're hot. But no, I don't know. I try not to run around being afraid of stuff. I do run around being frustrated and angry about a bunch of stuff, but afraid, no. But that is one of the things that is in fact being taken from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I damned well don't appreciate it. Not in the least. That's taking from me my peace and my tranquility. My right to, because, you know, they're so in love with the Declaration of Independence, they have taken from me my right to the pursuit of happiness.
Oh, but I'm told that it's just a pursuit of happiness. I'm not guaranteed happiness.
Oh, no, you can just chase it.
Well, I can't chase it because it's a skeet shoot out there.
Yeah, and if somebody doesn't like it, you know, one of those God-fearing, upstanding, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals will shoot your ass.
That is true. Oh, I have one more Thorn in the Side Thursday story for you.
Yes, please.
My dear legislators in the state Senate in the state of Missouri, there has for decades been a press table on the floor of the Senate. Our Senate voted today to take the press table away from them because they, quote, need the room for staffers. And in truth, the president of the Senate admitted that it was retribution for they had overheard one of the senators quietly tell another senator to tone down the rhetoric because I guess they were getting a little too teabaggy even for the teabaggers. And one of the press guys heard it and tweeted it out. And so as retribution, they said that because they can no longer trust the press. And I'm like, I got news for you. The press isn't there to be trusted by you. The press is on that floor to be trusted by me.
There we go.
But they got kicked off the floor of the Senate today.
I'll be
permanently.
Damned.
Yep. Because they, you know, senators just can't trust them reporters no more.
They might, yeah, they might do some of that. They're reporting. And if we can't make sure what they're reporting before they report it, well, it ain't necessarily you wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, I found the whole thing pretty damn defensive myself, and I just couldn't believe it. I thought, you guys actually have the nerve to say you can't trust them, so nobody's going to be able to get close enough to hear what we're saying. Well,
they might not say the right things about the little fetuses.
They've settled. Oh, the city of Kansas City passed a law through the city council and was signed by the mayor to raise the minimum wage to $12 or $13 an hour by 2017. The state legislature immediately passed a law stating that the minimum wage cannot be higher than the federally mandated minimum wage plus whatever the state of Missouri says they can add to it. So here it is $8.35 an hour or something. And so they just passed a law saying that Kansas City can't do that.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I guess that'll be treated as constitutional.
Oh, absolutely. See, the federal government can't say that gay marriage is legal or that we'll take refugees. Because, of course, the legislature also passed laws to stop the Islamization of Missouri because it's such a problem.
You're right. Sure.
Haven't seen a hijab anywhere.
No, of course not, nor will you.
But they're just the idiotic things that they're doing in Jeff City. And I'm sitting there going, that is such a grand building. I love that place.
Oh,
so
no,
much.
I've been, that is a beautiful state capital.
It is.
And they're desecrating it.
They are. And it breaks my heart.
I mean, I hate it that I've gotten to this point in my life, Carol, where when the legislature sits, I cringe in fear.
I do too. And I read the reports every day of what comes out of that place, and it is frightening. This is no worse than Alabama or Mississippi.
And here in West Virginia, they're about to sit, Carol, and the first things they start talking about will be taking away wage earners' wages, right to work,
mm-hmm.
Making sure that anybody who wants to buy a gun can then just carry that gun concealed. Anybody, screw a background check. I mean, not even going through the thin little niceties of, say, an application through a law enforcement agency. Anybody who can buy a gun can carry one.
Yeah.
And then of course I'm sure there'll be some fetus protecting bills.
Oh yeah. Because we're down to one clinic in the entire state that performs abortions. And they're going after them with a vengeance.
And it takes a woman trying to get one, what, 72 hours?
Oh, yeah, 72 hours because we're too stupid to know we're pregnant.
No, you're not too stupid to know you're pregnant. You're too stupid to even know what that means.
Well, there's that.
I mean, I...
And then we get lectured, and then we get lied to and told that we'll have mental health issues all of our life, that we'll never be able to get pregnant again, and that we're more likely
And it'll probably give you the breast cancer.
It will. That we're more likely to get cancer. And, isn't that grand?
Jesus.
And we have to look at the sonogram to see the little fetus. We have to accept what we're murdering.
Yeah, and you know what? I bet there'll be give them long enough and they'll require that all the sonogram monitors, when they find the little fetus, it'll immediately populate a little sign in its hand going, "Hi, Mom."
Yeah, exactly. Pretty soon they'll be arming the fetuses so they can protect themselves from the incubators.
Jesus.
It's not pretty.
No.
It's not pretty here.
I don't know what do you reckon it's like in... Are there any sane and civilized states left?
I mean, maybe California?
Parts of California. Parts of it are just batshit ass fucking crazy because there's a whole group of people that want to break off and make a whole...
Oh, no, yeah, state of Jefferson, just right, mm-hmm. right. Yeah, right up there in Sparky territory.
Yeah, yeah. But, and the more Donald Trump gets to speak and the more people are going, well, Blago, he's a plain speaker and he speaks for me.
Yeah, Ron says
he
Vermont.
He doesn't give a fat shit about you, buddy.
No, hell no. Ron says Vermont.
Probably Vermont. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe Rhode Island?
I don't know.
Hard to say. Hard to say. Well, Carol Baker, it's awful good to hear from you, dear.
You too.
Thanks
you
for
too.
Thanks for joining me out here on the ledge.
I don't know if I've been much help tonight. I'm a pretty sad sack. The only bright spot was my little YouTube video.
No, that's the delight of the evening.
I just hope there's more where that came from.
Yeah, and not those weird crackery ones that look like dog treats.
That was, but I loved the zoom in and the Ken Burns effect on the video, on the pictures that they put up. It was heaven. It's called Letter from an Oregon Militiaman. If you're looking for it on YouTube, because visually it's beautiful.
Somebody spent some time.
Yeah. It that goes into the wish I'd done that file.
I mean, they're because they've got electricity there. They got pizza.
Yeah, I'm just not happy about the whole going out to dinner and getting to come back in thing.
No. Before climbing into sleeping bags, the Bundys, bodyguard Kajar, no really, and two others sat in a circle discussing the day's lessons and making plans for the next. After hours on high alert, the group had come to believe that the tip they had gotten earlier about a planned overnight raid was actually a red herring planted by the federal agents in an act of psychological warfare, and they decided there were some purported supporters they would no longer trust. They were trying to see how we would react to the imminent threat, Ryan Bundy offered. Buddha never returned.
Of course, you could just be a paranoid, info-war-loving, white grievance addict. Fox News watching tard.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I'm just throwing that out there. It's a possibility.
Oh, meanwhile, the group's head of security, a man known as Buddha, had been out of touch since driving off-site hours earlier. Amid efforts to locate him, the Bundys talked at length about what had brought them into this wilderness and what it would take for them to leave.
I don't know. Paranoia and a bigger gun than they have. Paranoia brought him in, and it's going to take a bigger gun to get him out.
Jesus, I mean, the occupiers
send in the goddamn tanks. What are they going to do?
Right, you know, and they say, you know, well, Waco and Ruby Ridge. Have we gotten to this point where we've forgotten that Randy Weaver was a dick? And yeah. That David Koresh was a maniac.
Exactly. Whom I suspect set some of the fires on the inside of that building. He was ready to die and take everybody with him.
Yeah. Jim Jones, please.
How long do we humor these people?
The occupiers have spent some of their time collecting evidence to press their case.
They're not occupiers. I'm offended by that.
Yeah. Ammon Bundy worried aloud about a video recording stored in his cell phone of what he says is an eyewitness raising questions about the government case, about the Hammonds. If they kill me, grab my phone.
And delete my browser history.
That one too.
Sorry, that was just too good.
And then this one shows up. Tearful militant. I mean, this reads like something from The Onion. Tearful militant discovers friend drank away donation money. It's like finding out there is no such thing as Santa. Are we getting punked again? A heartbroken militia man announced that one of his buddies had walked off the Oregon Nature Preserve they had overtaken and had holed up in a local motel to drink away donation money. Joe O'Shaughnessy,
No, really. Oh, really, O'Shaughnessy, is it? An Arizona militia man, in other words, an overarmed white thug, has been actively seeking volunteers through social media to join the occupation. Occupation, bullshit, the sedition. But his friends tearfully announced that O'Shaughnessy, who is known as Captain O, had left the refuge Wednesday and was instead staying at a motel nearby, as some others associated with the militants have apparently been doing, according to sources. Some of the militants have reportedly been spotted eating at area restaurants during the standoff. Man, I tell you what, nothing says siege mentality like fucking Denny's.
It's Lenny's.
Oh my God.
I know, it just keeps getting dumber by the minute.
Oh, and so here's what happened to Buddha. The militants have been allowed to come and go freely from the nature preserve in the absence of a law enforcement presence. But at least one of them, Brian Buddha Cavalier, failed to return after a newspaper report revealed he had lied about serving in the U.S. Marines.
Yeah, I'm a Marine Semper Fi. Fought in the Iraq and the Afghanistan. Not really.
Yeah. What, next to Chris Kyle?
There you go.
On top of the Superdome?
Yeah. O'Shaughnessy had apparently argued with some of the participants about the presence of women and children at the wildlife refuge, where militants apparently hoped to draw federal agents into a gun battle. John Ritzheimer went to the hotel and found O'Shaughnessy drinking there. Ritzheimer confirmed that O'Shaughnessy had kept the money he had raised through social media for himself and had spent at least some of it on a drinking binge.
It ain't like he hired a hooker.
Yeah, well, Kai Irvin said, Ritzheimer did call me. He's fucking pissed. He's mad. He's upset. He told me to tell all of you that Joe O'Shaughnessy is a deserter and a coward.
Right. Ritzheimer, father of the year.
Yeah. I'm sorry I couldn't be with you on Christmas or New Year's, babies, but I got to be out here stroking my own ego.
And harassing mosques who never did anything to me.
O'Shaughnessy's pissed, though. He says, because I've been vocal about not supporting the actions taken by the individuals inside the compound, apparently they have desired to launch a smear campaign against me. Of course, he capitalizes campaign. Even though I'm one of the only patriots on the outside doing everything I can to try and prevent this from turning into another Waco, that's W-A-K-O, Waco, and making sure to protect the safety of all involved. To what I say, my reputation is sterling.
Your reputation is.
I didn't even know they still made sterling. Sterling Big Mouths, remember those?
Yes.
Yeah, his reputation is sterling. It's not a little king. It's sterling.
Bob, I'm going to let you move on. I feel better now that we've mocked them.
Yes, relentlessly and remorselessly.
And, oh, God, yes. All right, I'm going to go see what other fun stuff I can dig up about these people at the Bird Sanctuary.
Hot diggity, hot diggity. And if you find any more Ken Burns videos, please, you know, put up the bat signal.
Oh, absolutely. The ongoing saga of the Dumb and the Restless.
The Dumb and the Rustlers.
Yeah.
We could play this game all night, Carol Baker. Have a good one.
You too, buddy.
All right, bye now. Bye. The one and only Carol Baker from a secure, undisclosed location near Hooterville. Like I said, a bunch of mail rolling in, and thanks going out. Thank you very kindly to Jack in Shreveport. Jack joined in with Jennifer and Graham, and we now have only $140 to raise for the evenings for the evening's fundraising. 10 at 14, 14 at 10, 20 at 7. I get so lost so easily, but yeah, the PayPal interface is over at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute, please, so we don't have another big hole to dig out of for Friday on the front porch.
Thomas says, Bob, Captain O was probably a Catholic and needed a good drinky. Just saying, I should know. I used to be a wayward, somewhat Irish Catholic. I was not going to, I didn't say it. Charles says, down here in Madison, Tennessee, there's a mega church called the Cornerstone Church. Seems like their pastor, Maury Davis, slit a woman's throat when he lived in Irving, Texas. He served a short time in prison and then married a Baptist piano player, had a religious experience, and now is the senior pastor of Cornerstone Church in Madison, Tennessee. Check it out on Google. Oh, that sounds like real fun for an upcoming prayer meeting Wednesday. And a note coming in from Ray down in Florida. Subject line, if not now, when? To follow up on my subject yesterday, if we allow Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the DNC to shove a 1%er tool down our throats once, despite the will of the American voters, what's to stop them from doing it every election? At some point, we have to make a stand. I'm trying to be as clear as I can. I support Bernie. Period. I'm supporting him in the primaries. I'm going to vote for him in my state's primary. I'm going to encourage others to do the same. But this business about, look, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is incompetent. She's in the tank for Hillary. The DNC is not a level playing field. It was not designed to be. But I, for my part, am not going to take a stand, Ray, and I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm not going to take a stand on some old lady's Social Security. I'm not going to stand on her back. I'm not going to punish her because if it should happen that Bernie doesn't win the nomination, I'm not going to punish her on that account. I'm not going to punish a woman who wants to have control of the reproductive workings of her own body if we don't get Bernie. I'm not going to do that. Because that's a stand I have no right to take. I just don't. Once they got done being president, once they got done with Bill being president, they did become 1%ers. They were not 1%ers going in. They really weren't. There are a lot of things not to love about the Clintons. But you're never going to have any success convincing me that they are a one-to-one direct equivalent of Trump or mean, batty-ass Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American. Or Marco Rubio in name only. Or Huckabee. Or Carly Fiorina. Or anybody else running for the presidency. Like I said, I've got a luxury others don't have here in West Virginia. I can go and vote in the primary. And I can vote in the general, and I'm willing to bet that, Trump will probably be the runaway winner of the West Virginia primary in May on the Republican side. And he will probably be the runaway winner of our 5 electoral votes in the general election in November 2016. This is not because I'm giving up. This is because I know where I live and I know with whom I live. But Ray, you're in Florida. You don't have my luxury. If you live in Ohio, you don't have my luxury. If you live in Pennsylvania, you don't have my luxury. If you live in California, you don't have my luxury. Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, you don't have my luxury. And I just think, and I'm not trying to be a jerk. I just think that declaring that one must take a stand on the backs of the 1 in 4 children in the United States of America who go to bed hungry every night. I don't think anybody has that right. It's one thing to say burn, baby, burn. It's another thing entirely to consider what is getting burned. Update, because I can't seem to get it here. The reason Obama's only on CNN is because it's a CNN gig. They got Anderson Calliope Cooper, Anderson Vanderbilt Cooper. You want a one percenter, there's one. Sitting right there next to President Obama, so naturally nobody else is carrying. No, it's an exclusive. And up in the frozen, well, at least a little bit frosty north, Ron says Obama on CNN is being relatively prudent in his remarks, genial in packaging his nibbling at the edges approach to gun control to look like sort of the New Deal. And he's good that way. He doesn't lose it like I lose it. Thanks, Ray. Ray says I can see that. Thomas, subject line, Little Debbie, says Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the DNC aren't the problem. The problem is the fact that we need to save the country from any of these evil, vile Republicans who would like us all to die quickly so we can meet Jesus. Truly yours, with or without Christ, signed Thomas. Thoughts and prayers, Thomas, thoughts and prayers. Oh, no, I didn't indulge you, Carol Baker. Carol says, thanks for indulging me. No, that was no indulgence. That was an absolute joy. It always is. Oh, let's see. Back into the email stack. With regard to Alex Jones, Steve in New York says it's all them false flags, Bob. Don't you know? Well, I do. Yeah, absolutely. Robert in Australia with another haunt moment. The NRA continue to say the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Does anyone anywhere in the USA have any statistics on that? How many times has a bad guy with a gun been stopped by a good guy with a gun? And no one's been hurt except the bad guy. I ask because until that bad guy opens fire, how do you know who he or she is? And you don't. And that's what I was describing there on the campus of George Mason University with the Secret Service. Because of our insane gun laws, even the Secret Service can't make that determination. You don't know who the bad guy with a gun is until the bad guy with a gun declares himself to be one by firing it. Yeah. Robert continues, to my hot moment, these people cannot go to a university campus to listen to their president speak without taking along their guns. Why? Are they expecting an ISIS attack? Well, hell, that there Obama's a secret Kenyan Muslim anyway. He's probably a member of ISIS. You think I'm kidding? It's been said. Robert asks, are they all that terrified of each other? No, they're not terrified of each other. They're terrified of the other. They're terrified of them, they, those. And they reserve the right to define who they, them, those are. Robert says, it's what I still cannot comprehend, Bob. The excuse is that guns are needed for self-defense, and yet the only people in the USA you have to worry about attacking you are your fellow Americans, and the statistics prove it. They absolutely do. To the extent that we can have statistics. Because the whole the Congress of the United States, a majority-owned subsidiary of the National Rifle Association, does everything in its power to keep statistics from being gathered about gun violence, injuries, incidents, and death. The NRA had a hissy when it was suggested that pediatricians should ask about whether there were guns in a family's home as a means of assessing childhood risks. Hint, guns in the home are a childhood risk. But of course, the NRA runs this country and, you know, not really the Congress. So, no, we can't do that because it would hurt the tender fee-fees of the NRA. I despise them. I don't know. We'll have to wait and find out on the follow-up coverage. Jack in Shreveport asking, subject line, town hall questions. How much you want to bet that there won't be a single question or statement about the history or intent of the Second Amendment? I hope I'm wrong. I hope you are too, Jack. I'm willing to bet you're not. Going back to Judge Roy Moore, Ron in Raleigh asks, could the people of Talabama give old Roy Moore the heave-ho behind this obvious malfeasance and defiance of the law of the land? If not, what the hell does the Supreme Court ruling mean? As an aside, listening to NPR on the way home, there was a report on Bo Bergdahl's coming courts-martial. At the end of the report, the reporter added as an aside that T-Rump thought that Bo was a traitor and should be executed. To the best of my knowledge, T. Rump is not a lawyer, nor does he have expertise in military law or the Uniform Code of Military Justice. My question then is, what the do I or any sane person care what he has to say about Bo Bergdahl's legal status? Well, you have a functioning brain, Ron, so you don't give a good tinker's damn. And in answer to the, no, the only hope would be impeachment of Judge Roy Moore, and I don't see that happening in the legislature of the state of Alabama. The only people who can do anything about it are the voters, and they largely agree with Judge Roy Moore. Now, I don't know. Maybe the maybe there's a federal law he's violating. Could he be held in contempt of federal court? Maybe, but you got to have a case in controversy for that to happen with. Obergefell is over. Meanwhile, with the CNN town hall, Sparky tells me it's all scripted, Bob. Anderson Cooper knows the questions before they're even asked. In other words, it's wrestling. Wrestling. The Red Marauder versus the Blue Demon. Mm-hmm. And of course, we've got there's balance inside that room. There are as many gun goobers who don't give a goddamn about anybody's children in this country as there are people who do, which creates the false impression that both sides have equal validity. They do not. No. So here we find ourselves. And Marty notes, by the way, that the up in Northern California, the state of Jefferson crazies come all the way down to Placer County, which is just north of Sacramento, and I'm certain the Sierra Nevada region heading south is that way too. The disease metastasizes. It most assuredly does. And there's still more out there. God, we could do three more hours. Let's wrap up, though, with Cynthia Dunbar, who used to sit on the Texas State Board of Education and is now employed at Jerry Falwell Liberty University and is co-chair of the Virginia campaign of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American. She showed up on David Barton's program. You remember David Barton? He's a notorious fraud and a shameless liar. And you know, by their fruits ye shall know them. Here is a straight up theocrat, just like her candidate of choice, her boss Ted Cruz. And she's not shy about letting us know what they have in store for us. Just because it's 4 minutes to the end of the program doesn't mean you get to put the hockey puck away.
The hand that rocks the cradle. Why is educational policy so critical? And David touched on a few of those things. I believe it's a crucial issue for several reasons. One, it's what I call the seed policy. If you think about it, every major social issue you are encountering as legislators actually directs back to what it talks about in Genesis, of I will put enmity between you and the seed of the woman. Because what happens? What is abortion? Abortion is the destruction of the seed. What is homosexuality? It is the prevention of the seed. And what is education? It is the potential deception of the seed. And so when we have 88% to 90%, which is approximately the number of students that are being educated within our socialized education system, effectively indoctrinating our children with our own tax dollars, guess what? We lose every other issue. We lose life, we lose marriage, we lose all of it. So I think this is the linchpin issue.
You got that? The liberal socialist education system is perpetrating deception of the seed. Well, that's just gross. Well, at least we're at the end of the program, and I can plop, plop, fizz, fizz, and get a little relief. Oh, tequila, you are my friend. Hope you all have a great remainder of the evening. Hope you enjoyed the 3 hours you spent with the Horn Family Commune Community Congregation this evening. Thank you. Thank you to Jennifer and Graham and Jack for helping with fundraising this evening. Tomorrow's fundraising goal, beginning Friday on the front porch, will be $340, unless something changes rather dramatically overnight. Mm-hmm. Friday on the front porch, like I said, and it's always a blast. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.